Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about, you know, the more you rest, the more you tap into this infinite energy, and you have more energy to pursue things that you feel like, you know, your heart wants to pursue. And also more about maybe how you understand more about your own health and what needs to be addressed.
Can you speak to just the unstoppable movement benefit with this realization, and just that it just seems like that there's, once this realization occurs, that it's like the only thing that you want to be doing, and just that that wondrous that just wondrous movement, that that's the only thing that really matters to benefit others.
Will you speak about the caring nature of awareness? When we're born on a planet of precious jewels. We're born into an existence that is filled with precious gems. Everything that we behold, including ourselves, is a precious wish-fulfilling gem. And if we live our whole life never knowing that, then we leave with our pockets empty and our hearts empty. We don't even have any idea what human existence was all about. And so, if we never know that we're living on a jewel-studded planet where everything is a precious jewel, no matter what occurs, then our life is filled with the perception of suffering. Even though we're living on a planet-studded jewel and a jewel-studded planet, we completely can't see it. We can't see it at all. And it's only because no one has ever told us anything different. We know in our heart of hearts what's true. But then when we see other people throughout our life and no one seems to know that this is true, then we never learn that it's true either. If our parents don't know, how can we learn that from our parents? And if the schools don't know, how could we learn it in school? If the other institutions of human culture don't know about that or distort it in some way, then how could we possibly know? And so what we do is, just because we want to belong, we adopt the perception of suffering that everyone is living by, and never realizing that within ourselves we have already inherent within us complete freedom from all suffering. Already within us, the nature of our mind is that it is completely free of all suffering. And all the while, throughout all of our human existence, our mind is pure like the sky and without any kind of suffering whatsoever, just completely pristine and filled with itself and nothing else. And so if we don't have anyone to tell us that, then we think, I guess I just want to fit in. And even though I know something else is the case, no one else seems to know that, so I'll just do what everybody else is doing, and then I'll be able to have friends and get along in the world. And so in this way, we become gradually convinced that we're supposed to suffer rather than to just enjoy the relaxed nature of our mind. The totally relaxed, open, spacious nature of our mind that is like sky. And everything that is within the mind is the mind, so everything that is within the mind is also like sky. Whether it's internal or external, everything we know is known through the mind, which functions via awareness. And so, you know, no matter what it is, it's completely open and pure like space, completely radiant, and never been attached anywhere, just like no point of sky is anything other than the vast expanse of sky. No thought is anything other than the vast expanse of mind. The mind has never been made into a thought. It's never been made into anything. And so, you know, when we live in a world that's based on scientific and philosophical descriptions of everything, then we don't know that thoughts are totally open and pure like space. From philosophical descriptions and scientific descriptions, we think the thoughts really are something that we need to do something about. Almost all philosophy states this, that thought is something that needs to be adjusted or changed or tweaked or transformed in some way. And science tells us this too. It says that we are our thinking, that our identity is comprised of what we think. And when we're told that our identity is comprised of what we think, oh, then we're really alarmed because we know what we think is really weird. While we might have some nice thoughts, we have mostly a lot of unpredictable, weird thoughts. And if we try to have only nice thoughts, then what we do is just neutralize the weird thoughts. And if anything unexpected comes up, it might just unleash all these neutralized weird thoughts that have been in the thought prison. And we never learn that all of these thoughts, no matter what they are, that appear within the spacious awareness mind are like a mirage. They're nothing but pure space. They don't have any definitive edge or center, and they've never been created. They've never been born. They're just an apparition of emptiness, a vivid appearance of pure space and nothing else. Even though there seems to be something there, there's nothing there. When we don't know that, then we live under the perception of suffering, and the perception of suffering means that no matter what happens, we're affected by it. We believe that what appears has an independent origin, and because we believe it has an independent origin and that it's a thing in itself, that it has some kind of power to affect us. In other words, a power to make us either have a good day or a bad day. A power to make our body feel good or make our body feel bad. Make our mind feel good or our mind feel bad. And we spend our whole life trying to surround ourselves with good thoughts and emotions as much as possible, but we're never able to do that. And we're always trying to get people to stay in our life who will be nice to us. But no matter who we get to stay in our life, it will end in tragedy. No matter how long we get them to stay and no matter how devoted they may be to us, it will end in tragedy. Either they'll leave us or they'll die, or we'll die. So, you know. if we're really believing that our well-being is coming from another person, then we're going to be very shocked, because if we die, we'll find out we can't take them with us where we're going. You know, we're all going to die, and our beloved ain't going along. They're going to stay here unless we have a death pact or something, which would be kind of bizarre, but it does happen. When I go, we'll go together. That kind of idiocy. So, and then on the other hand, the other one, the beloved, might suddenly decide they don't want to be with you anymore, so they leave, or they leave permanently by dying. And so in any event, there's no well-being that can be found there. And whenever we place all of our faith in another person in that way, then all was at least in the back of our mind, but usually in the forefront of our mind, is the fear that the other one will leave or that we will do something they don't like. So now not only are we managing our own thoughts and emotions and actions, we're trying to manage the thoughts, emotions, and actions of the other person too. Always checking our movements and our thinking and how our affect is emotionally to try to make sure that the other one won't leave or not like us. Oh man, I'm exhausted. I've got to take a nap just talking about it. This is really dismal. And to think that just about everyone lives this way, that's really alarming. And it's especially alarming when within us we know already that there's something totally spacious and free and entirely beneficial not only to ourselves and everyone else. Now, another one of the perceptions of suffering that we live under that we might not think so much about is that everyone lives under either a tacit or implied perception of suffering in relation to government and authorities. So, you know, we're never quite sure what's going to happen with government and authorities. You know, we're free right now, but, you know, we could be locked up. And at any minute, there could be great adversity that arises and a complete change in circumstances. And even though this may not be something we think about very often, especially living in America, with 9/11 and other such things, we are kind of on tenterhooks. You know, we're never quite sure what's going to happen, and we can see what could happen if other governments or factions took over. So always we're living under this implied or tacit perception of suffering, depending on where we live in the world, because in some areas of the world it isn't like it is here. And every day people are facing either outright war or threatened civil disruption. And most of the world's people have actually seen this happen in their own culture. So it's very, very rare that there would be a small pocket of people who hadn't experienced this within human culture. And of course, this is something that some factions are attempting to point out to the West right now, that, you know, the rest of the world is in chaos and upset, and you're consuming 15% of the resources, and we don't like that. So we're going to point that out to you. And so you see that always whether we really think about these things or not, or whether we're numb to them, there's still something that's unsettling within us. There's still a point of view that we have. And so this is another form of suffering. And when we believe in our mind and that we are our thoughts, then we're always afraid of ourselves. because we don't know what we're going to think next, and we feel like we're in the command position. There's somebody in there, and they're in the command position, and they've got to keep control of all these unruly thoughts and emotions. And so we're really an enemy to ourselves because we don't really know the nature of our thinking and emotions. And we don't really know the nature of our bodies either. We really don't know what brings complete physical well-being because we're completely out of touch with our true nature. We're completely out of touch with it. So we not only don't know that already within us, already accomplished, do we have the ability and capacity to have complete mastery over all our mental phenomena, whether it's thoughts or emotions, but also we have complete mastery over our bodily phenomena altogether, not just our minds. So you see, if we don't understand our nature, we can never know that. So this is definitely another form of suffering. When we don't know that our body and mind are like space, and that the building blocks of our body are space, light, and sound, then we believe in all the scientific descriptions about our body, whatever they might be. We believe that we're DNA or some kind of evolving human creature or or whatever the fashion is at the time. That's what we'll believe about our body. And so if something goes wrong with our body, then we'll try to fix it based upon these ideas rather than getting to know our real nature. And so, you know, what do we really know about science? What can we say we really know about the science of the body when the science of the body is based on only on descriptions? It's not really based on the experience of the body. It really isn't. It's not based at all on the experience of the body. And the same with the mind. What does the science of the mind have to tell us? Neuroscience. What does that have to tell us when the neuroscience is based on descriptions only? It's not really based on individual's experience of the mind. Almost all neuroscience is based only on descriptions of what goes on in the mind and not on people's actual experience of the mind. And there have always been people throughout all of time who within their own mind have attained complete mastery over all thoughts and emotions. Now that, it seems to me, that would be something to know about. But you see, nothing can be known about that. Scientists may know that that's the case, but unless a scientist herself or himself is able to have that actual experience of complete mastery over all thoughts and emotions, complete mastery over all thoughts and emotions and over all phenomena, to be a complete master of the mirage-like appearances, then there's no way they can come to any kind of conclusive science about that. So you see, the greatest scientific advancement has to come from getting familiar with the nature of the body and the mind. That's the only way that the perception of suffering can come to a complete stop. And that can only come about for people individually, right now, anyway. And that won't always be the case, but right now it is, in terms of what people perceive to be happening. And so to become familiar with the nature of the mind is to simply allow the naked awareness of the mind to be as it is, no matter what appears. And that means to not try to change thoughts or emotions when they appear, not try to find remedies for bodily sensations when they appear, but to rest as awareness and to see what we know from there, from pure knowing to see what's going on rather than trying to figure it out from descriptions. So this is really important. It's absolutely essential. First of all, each of us as individuals can have no well-being unless we know this. And we will always be ruled by yet another perception of suffering we all have, and that is that we'll die. So most of us live every single day with a fear of death. Every human being, almost every human being, lives every single day with a fear of death. Yet in the nature of the mind as it is, there is complete freedom from fear of death. And when one familiarizes oneself with the nature of the mind and gains confidence in that, then one attains this complete freedom from the fear of death. Complete freedom from the fear of death. And all of this comes about by resting as awareness. When a thought or emotion appears, don't describe it. That's all it means. Don't tell a story about it. Just let what's knowing be as it is. And in that, more and more confidence is gained in awareness. More and more it's realized that awareness is the basis of all thoughts. Awareness is the basis of all emotions. And the more experience one has of that, the more confidence there is that that's what's so. So it's just like we learned that all the thoughts are our identity, or all our emotions are our identity. We learn that very gradually and gain confidence in it. We didn't have the opportunity of being born that. We weren't born thinking that we are a bunch of thoughts and emotions. We learn this and we gain confidence in it over time through repetition, through listening to what people described about thoughts and emotions and reading books about thoughts and emotions. And that's exactly how we gain confidence in that. And no one can make us gain confidence in that. We had to do it ourselves. We chose to do that, essentially, to go from the pure space of babyhood and infancy into choosing a life of fitting in. And so when we choose to gain confidence and awareness, then we start to see a whole new picture. The more confidence we gain in awareness, the less interested we are in conventional outlooks. The more we realize that conventional outlooks are just points of view or opinions of the perceiver, they're not ultimate reality. And from the vantage of the ultimate reality of awareness, we can understand all points of view and opinion. So why would we want to take up any particular point of view or opinion, whether it's about our mind or our body or anything else? And when we gain confidence and awareness, more and more we're not holding to any of the reference points we used to have about our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, our bodily sensations, our experiences. And when we're no longer holding to those, then it releases tremendous energy. Energy we didn't have before, because we were expending the energy on trying to fix all of our emotional states and our thoughts and our bodies. When those reference points are loosened up and we begin to experience more and more freedom from all of those reference points, we begin to see that awareness is the sole cause and the sole effect, and that there isn't the power of cause or effect situated in anything that appears, in any phenomenon, no matter what it is. Whether it's a thought, whether it's an emotion, whether it's a sensation, or whether it's an experience. So it really only depends on how committed we are to taking it all the way beyond everything we've ever learned conventionally about ourselves. Because all the time there are all kinds of institutions, all kinds of people who want to seduce us into some kind of conventional outlook about the mind and the body and the rest of human experience. And so is that what we really want? Do we want to be seduced into some kind of point of view about that? Or do we really want to, in our own experience, challenge ourselves to go beyond all these conventional ideas of everything? And even in gaining confidence and awareness, there are all kinds of sidetracks that can be taken. All many, many opportunities to take a sidetrack somewhere along the line, no matter what it might be, or adopt some kind of extreme. And so for someone who's really totally committed to awareness, beyond all conventional outlooks and all conventional structures, it requires a steadfast faith in that, a very steadfast faith in that. And I know from my own experience what I can say is that my soul practice is complete obedience to the unenforceable. That's my soul practice. And that is beyond all convention. I'm not at all interested in convention. Not at all. Conventional outlooks have not produced immediate benefit for all human beings on Earth. And that's what I'm interested in. Immediate benefit. Not some description that proffers long-term benefit somewhere down the road. That's just like a carrot always dangled too far away to grab it. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the immediate benefit that is available to everyone. And so, you know, we can see that's not taking place right now. People don't know that they have immediate benefit of total relief from their thoughts and emotions. They don't know that. And so, you know, and yet that's what's available to everyone. And the same thing with the body and all the physical ailments. People don't know that within us we have complete mastery over all ailments, no matter what they are. So do you want to know that? Do you want to know everything you can know about that? Or do you want some quick fix based on someone else's dream about what's going on? With complete obedience to the unenforceable, then there's never an arrival. You know, there's never a destination anywhere. There's always going beyond all constructs whatsoever, and there's never an attachment or holding to any construct. And it's very clear in one's qualities and activities that any construct can go at any time. And it's just great. There's complete fluidity in the way of thinking about things and in moving in the world that allows for great expansion and greatly beneficial activity beyond all imagining and beyond all current structures of the way everyone sees things. Now, this is the nature of every human being on Earth, not just a few. It's the nature of everyone. But you see, in our own being, we have to be completely committed, complete obedience to the unenforceable. And that lasts no matter how long we live. And that's a truly enjoyable life. That's a life that's fun and filled with humor. Complete obedience to the unenforceable, where all the trappings of life, they're interesting, but we see the joke. You know, we got the joke. We really got it. And we're hee-hawing all the time. You know, no matter, we just start to see everything so clearly, and even though there are many very powerful and great institutions, even in the greatest institutions, even in the greatest institutions of awareness, we can see the hee-haw factor. You know, we can see what is totally unnecessary. And so this is what comes from complete obedience to the unenforceable. Only from complete obedience to the unenforceable can there come about true innovation that is of immediate benefit to everyone everywhere. Now, when we can immediately benefit ourselves by resting in our own space, resting in our own place, then we start to know what freedom really is. We start to know what love really is. And we can innovate in very radical ways that no one else can see. Why can't anyone else see it? Because everyone is wrapped up in whatever they're wrapped up in. They're wrapped up in ideas about everything, or they're not wrapped up in complete obedience to the unenforceable. They're not resting as the unenforceable. And maybe some of you are like that. You know, maybe you're wrapped up in a thing or two. I don't. I don't know. What do you think? What are you committed to? And so, early in my life, it became clear to me that things just weren't working. They weren't working the way they're intended to be. All of human life and all of life altogether has great meaning, and it's intended and purpose to be easeful and immediately beneficial. That means that in each of our own experience, we have the immediate benefit of complete relief in the direct encounter with all experience, whether it's thoughts, emotions, sensations, or other experiences. We have available within us complete relief. And when we rest as that relief from all the stories and descriptions about everything, then we gain confidence in that relief. And the more confidence we gain, the more we don't care what anyone thinks. But at the same time, we love everyone and we respect where they are. Because we know that if we had the same kind of thinking they do, we'd be acting exactly the same way, no matter who they are. Now, this is another way of describing compassion. When we know that we'd be acting exactly like whomever, if we were in their shoes and had their thinking and emotions, then we've realized compassion. Because in order to get to that point, we have to realize that our own thinking and our own emotions are all totally pure like space, and none of them need to be corrected. In just resting in the complete relief of evergreen awareness, we find that there's the complete exhaustion of all faults and the perfection of all qualities. All deficiencies are mended and all good qualities are absolutely perfected just by that. So why would we try to adjust anything about ourselves in any way? when we can be of immediate benefit to ourselves in this way, then we become able to be of great benefit to others. The only way to be beneficial to other people is to let them know the score about awareness, but only if they want to hear it, not, you know, running around like an evangelist. Oh, have you heard about awareness? You got to get on the awareness boat and cruise to the awareness island with us. It's people who want to know and are ready, they express an interest in some way, either subtle or overt. And when you become greatly sensitive by the power of awareness, you know the subtle cues of whether they're interested or not. And of course, the overt ones are plain to anybody. But in this way, the complete life changes. It changes totally. And instead of the obsessive interest in self and personal sympathetic attachments like family and whatsoever, the whole movement is for the benefit of all, because it's known that in the benefit of all, any familial concerns will be handled. There are a lot of people, even in our own precious families, who aren't interested in what we have to offer. You know, they're just not interested at all. That's the way that is. Just consider yourself totally fortunate, as bittersweet as it might be, to be able to open up to this understanding that transcends all understanding. And it's completely beyond thinking. Just thank your lucky stars or whatever you want to call it that you're able to understand and recognize who you are. And as for other people, well, go on your merry way. Yeah, that's what I suggest. And even if you decide to live with them, go on your merry way while you're living with them. To stay fixated on sympathetic attachments to people who aren't interested in resting as awareness by trying to get them to change or get them to rest as awareness. This is just a grueling, painful death. It really is. It's very, very unsatisfying. Many people right now feel very comfortable in forms and structures and these old ways of thinking about everything. But not everyone. There's a growing number of people who are really opening to this understanding and recognition about the nature of reality. And so those are the people that all of you as teachers want to reach out to. And you don't really even need to reach out. You just let people know that you're available and they will come to you. That's how you know they're interested. They come to you. And so, you know, in great freedom we have all of these downloads, 400 hours or maybe even more now of downloads, free downloads of full-length talks from within the last year. And these are circulating far and wide. They're not some kind of a tease to buy something. The truth can't be commodified or owned by anyone. And so these talks are completely free for anyone to do with whatever they wish. And all these thoughts are being transcribed, and soon we'll have the transcriptions up on the internet too. In our new site, we're going to have it be very intuitive and easy as to how to download these in different forms. Some people like to read, other people like to listen. And so whatever it is, it's not a tease to buy something. It's the full-out naked truth for anyone who wants to listen or read it. And if you then want to come to some kind of a face-to-face teaching or teleconference, Great Freedom Teaching, then you can do that too. And if you want to contribute a gift to Great Freedom for the value found in that, you can. But if you can't contribute anything, then that's great too. So this is just the way it is. And the truth is not vague. And getting familiar with awareness, gaining complete confidence in it, is not vague. To go somewhere and be introduced to awareness where there's no complete follow-up and support system for gaining confidence and awareness all the way to the wisdom powers of great benefit, it's just another point of view. It's just a complete tease and an unending spinning around in circles. It may seem like something better than what was going on, but it's only a slight shift in points of view. It doesn't bring complete resolution of points of view. You see, the direct instructions that bring about complete confidence and awareness are so thorough and so unerring and so undeterred that anyone who really commits to receiving that instruction will gain confidence and awareness very quickly. This is just the way it is. On your part, all you need to do is have the commitment. That's all, 100% commitment. That's it. And then you can be, but you know, that's 100% commitment of obedience to the unenforceable. That means all your ideas about everything, you rest as those, no matter what they are. All your ideas about yourself, all your ideas about other people, all your ideas about what it means to be in love or have a relationship, all your ideas about all institutions, no matter what they are, and even all politicians, no matter who they are. All your ideas about what the cosmos is and what it contains, everything. Completely beyond all conventional outlooks, even the most advanced and scientific. Would you rather know yourself as inconclusive DNA? Or would you rather be that which knows DNA to be one of the knowledge appearances of awareness? And so, you know, that's the choice right now, DNA and genomics and all of this kind of thinking. It's the latest and the greatest, and everyone's going, ooh, ah. You know, now we've done it. Now we're really the best. You know, human beings really are on top. We know everything. Not only do we know everything about ourselves, we know everything about the cosmos, we think. And so you see, what is really possible? We don't know until we can give ourselves the complete benefit of total freedom from all conventional outlooks, including conventional outlooks about awareness. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue what's possible for the body and mind. And we don't have a clue what's possible in the universe or the cosmos or even what it is. Right now, we only have a bunch of descriptions. When we gain familiarity with awareness, then we have the actual experience of being this, of being the cosmos, of being the universe, of being everything that it contains. And so that is the advantage of pure intelligence. No matter what appears it has an intelligence in and of itself, and that intelligence is synonymous with awareness, our very own awareness. When we gain confidence in that, we can really innovate and go beyond all these ideas that do not give any kind of direct and immediate benefit. They're always pointing to future benefit. And also the kinds of strategies they come up with of attempted benefit sometimes are very painful. You know, they, in other words, they don't work, most of them. They really don't work. When we become familiar with awareness and it's synonymous pure intelligence, then we can innovate and understand everything in a very radical way that allows for immediate benefit. So right now in human culture, we need many, many people committed to gaining confidence in awareness, and then this will make all kinds of innovation possible, just as it already is in those of you who are already committed. Why wait around for some future benefit that never arrives when it's right here? Another word for benefit is caring. The nature of everything as it is not only purely intelligent and purely knowing, but it's purely caring as well, totally caring. So that's how we know when we're gaining confidence and awareness. When it's true confidence, there's incredible caring. First for ourselves and not in letting ourselves get involved in all these stories about everything. Just resting nakedly doesn't mean taking your clothes off, but you can if you want to. But it just means letting everything be naked and uninvolved in all the stories. That's such an incredible level of self-care. There's no greater self-care than that. And from that vantage, then, it's easy to see what to do and how to act in our own life so that our circumstances, the actual circumstances of our life, match our commitment. You know, when we're completely committed to awareness, completely committed to pure intelligence, completely obedient to the unenforceable, then we don't put up with circumstances that don't match that. We can't. And so we want to and it's not because we're on some kind of self-righteous trip. It's just that life unfolds in such a way where our circumstances match that we're committed to. It's just that way. And so you see, that's really easy. And we see that there isn't any need to move in any abrupt or extreme way. We see that there's nothing that we need to do or change or disconnect from. There aren't any special places to go on Earth, for example, like India or Tibet or China or North Dakota. Or Estonia or Mongolia or the North or South Pole. There isn't any special place to go and no special circumstance to be, because wherever you go, there you are. And wherever you are, that's where awareness is. It's not anywhere else. So to think that you have to go through austere measures like sitting for endless hours until you have sores all over your bum and calluses and But you're so into being nobody and nothing that you don't even know you need treatment, and you know you've complete disconnect from everything. That's an extreme. It's not caring. It's not the truly beneficial caring of awareness. It's the truly beneficial caring of awareness is the ultimate in self-care. And it only gives the best of what's needed to each of us as individuals and to everyone. There's complete abundance available for everyone. Remember the jewel-studded planet we started out with? There's complete abundance for everyone, everywhere. Yet beings don't know that. And so, again, we don't know that because we believe in points of view. We believe in stories that say otherwise. We say there's only so much to go around. We have limited resources. We need to hold on to what we have and not share, because then we won't have enough. So these are all stories. They really are. Money isn't a separate point of view that somehow has power when others don't. Money doesn't have an independent nature. It's equal to pure space, just like anything else. And so when we live in such a way, we don't know that there is abundance for everyone, and we can't innovate in ways that everyone is taken care of. We can't innovate in the kinds of ways where everyone on earth has clean water, everyone on earth has a place to live, everyone on earth has clean clothes to wear, everyone on earth has nutritious food of the highest quality to eat. Everyone on earth has the perfect health care they need. Everyone on earth has the education they need. This kind of abundance is available in immediately beneficial awareness. And by gaining confidence in that, we become purely intelligent. We recognize and acknowledge the pure intelligence we already have. And from that intelligence, we can radically innovate to bring about extreme well-being for people everywhere, not only ourselves, but everyone everywhere. This is the appearance of the self-caring nature of awareness, the self-caring nature of pure intelligence that is always resolving everything in itself. There's never any way to be outside this pure intelligence. It overwhelms everything and subsumes everything in itself. There's never any way to be apart from it. We've never been anything other than that. And our birth is that, and the life we live is that, and the death is that as well. Yet we never change. We're indestructible, inconceivably unalterable and unchangeable. This is what we get familiar with when we gain confidence and awareness. We go beyond all the petty dialogue about this thought or that thought or this emotion or that emotion or gotta have this person and can't be around that one. And we go beyond all that. We don't have any need any longer to be entertained. We transcend the need to be entertained in life. We transcend the need to belong. We transcend the need to think about everything ad nauseam. We know that true answers come from the benevolence of nakedly pure awareness. They don't come from trying to put together a 10 trillion piece jigsaw of the cloudless sky. when we're always trying to arrange everything, it's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle that can't possibly be put together. It's a fruitless task. So again, it just depends on how committed you want to be. Just ask yourself, well, how committed am I? What am I committed to? Am I committed to my stories about everything? Or am I committed to the unenforceable and the unknowable? Am I committed to the complete solution, or am I committed to a partial one? Am I committed to descriptions, or am I committed to the nature of my own experience, of what my body and mind is?